Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Caberti, founder of the Content Marketing Plaza, bringing you 3 new episodes each week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. And before we jump into today's episode, let me ask you a quick question. How much would your life change if you could make 6 figures from your content? Imagine being able to quit your 9-to-5 job, do what you love for a living, and spend more time with your family. That's what we help our students do at the Content Marketing Plaza, an 8-week program that will help you build your way to 6 figures via your content. You can learn more about the Plaza by heading over to contentmarketingplaza.com, which will be in the show notes. All right, let's jump right back into the episode. Time and time again, one of the best ways to invest your money has been in property, in real estate, because that is where you have a tangible asset, you have a lot of different capabilities in making these kinds of investments. But for someone who is just looking at it and hasn't done anything with it yet, it can seem very confusing. So we are going to clear out some of the confusion and help you get started with your investing in this episode. So today's guest who will be joining us today, he is a real estate investing expert, serial entrepreneur, digital marketing expert, and real estate business coach. He is the owner of Frontier Properties and has been buying and selling land full-time since 2001. He is also the author of the book, Dirt Rich, which we'll hear about in the episode. So today's guest for episode 322 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Mark Podolsky. Mark, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Mark Caberti, it's so great to talk to you again. And I can't believe how many episodes you've done. You're an animal.
Thank you, Mark. And I mean, when you do produce 3 a week, then the number quickly adds up. But going on to you, because I'm sure a lot of people want to know, how do we invest in land? How do we invest in real estate? Because these are very powerful investing opportunities, but they also they require a good insight of knowing what's going on. So we're definitely going to cover that. Before we do, though, can you talk about your journey in land and real estate and why you got started on that journey?
Yeah. So, you know, let's rewind to the year 2000. And I was a miserable, overworked, micromanaged, 45-minute commute and back investment banker. And I was working with private equity groups, working in mergers and acquisitions. And Mark, I mean, I hated it. I'm telling you, it got so bad for me. Like, I wouldn't get the Sunday blues anticipating Monday coming around. I'd get the Friday blues anticipating the weekend going by really fast and having to be back at work on Monday. So my firm hires this guy, and then he's telling me as a side hustle, he's buying up raw land, pennies on the dollar. He's flipping them online, and he's making a 300% return on his investment. Well, Mark, I'm looking at companies all day long, and a great company has 15% EBITDA margins or free cash flow. Great company. Your average company is at 10%, and I'm looking at companies all day long less than 10%. So, of course, I don't believe him. So I've got $3,000 saved up for car repairs. I go to New Mexico with him. I buy up 10 half-acre parcels at an average price of $300 each. And I do exactly what he says. I put them up online. They all sell an average price of over $1,200 each. It worked 300%. So I took that money and I went to another auction where I live in Arizona. And again, there's no one in the room. It's 2000. I'm buying up lots and acres for like nothing. And over there, the next 6 months, I sold all that property and I made over $92,000 cash.
Wow.
So I go to my wife. I'm like, honey, I want to quit my job and I want to become a full-time land investor. And she says, absolutely not. So she's pregnant at the time. I said, all right, fine. So it took about 18 months of part-time land investing to replace my investment banking income, and then I quit, and I've been doing it full time ever since.
And I mean, just hearing your story, it's amazing how you were at this job that you didn't like. And I mean, it wasn't like you were consciously doing research on the subject. Someone comes and says, hey, this is what works for me. So, I mean, sometimes the answer can come from very unexpected places. So I feel like we all just got to keep an eye out and pay attention to the different things going around us, because that could be our big breakthrough, something that's happening in the room or someone who enters in our lives.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And you just never know, right? I mean, it's so funny because for a lot of people, like, the misery is really what they need to motivate them. And that was what it was for me. Like, I was just in so much sort of psychic pain that it, you know, when times got tough with the land investing, I didn't care. Like, well, this is better than, you know, this job that I'm never going to get wealthy in.
Now, when you mentioned your story of getting started, I mean, you mentioned some relatively low prices for the land. Now, obviously, this isn't a house or anything like that, but just to own property, I mean, that's a very low price point. I'm wondering how you go about finding these deals and then also flipping them. Like, I'm wondering if you could also share, like, do you do anything to the land or just sell as is?
Yeah, I mean, Mark, let's go through the whole process, soup to nuts.
Awesome.
So, okay, so where do you live?
I am in New York.
You're in New York. So I go to this county in Texas, and I go to the county treasurer, and I said, I want to see, get the list of everybody that owes back taxes. And then I scrub that list, and I get all the vacant land. And oh my gosh, there's Mark Guberti. He lives in New York. He owes $200 in back taxes on this 10-acre parcel in Texas. So Mark, you're advertising two things to me. Number one, you have no emotional attachment to that raw land. You're in New York, the property is in Texas. And number two, you're distressed in some way, because when we don't value things, we don't pay for them. And you owe $200 in back taxes. And every single month, you're getting notices from the county treasurer, Mark, if you don't pay your taxes, you're going to lose it to either a tax deed investor or a tax lien investor. So what I'll do then is I'll look at the comparable sales on that 10-acre parcel that you own for the last 12 to 18 months. And let's just say that it's $10,000, right? Is like the lowest comps. So all I'm going to do is divide by four. And that's going to get me what Warren Buffett would call a 300% margin of safety. So the most I'm going to pay for your property now is $2,500. So Mark, I don't want to be like the housing guys. I don't want to be in the appraisal business. So I'm not going to send you a letter or a postcard in the mail saying, hey, I'm interested in buying your land. You're like, well, I'm interested in selling my land. And now I'm spending all day, you know, negotiating. I'm going to send you an actual offer on the property for $2,500. Now you're going to accept it because $2,500 to you is better than nothing. In reality, 3 to 5% of people accept our quote unquote top dollar offer. So now you accept it. And then I go through due diligence or in-depth research. I got to make sure, Mark, you still own the property. Back taxes are only $200. I want to make sure there's no breaks in the chain of title, no liens or encumbrances. So I've got this nice checklist. Check, 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 check. You know, access. There's something compelling about the property. I want to get maps. I want to get plat maps, GIS maps. And I'm going to outsource that piece of it to my team in the Philippines and pay $11. But while I'm doing all my due diligence, I'm actually concurrently creating my marketing package for the next buyer. So I'm getting everything that they're going to want, right? They want to know what the plat map looks like. They want to know what the aerial photos look like, the GIS map. They want photos. They might want video, right? They want to make sure the title is free and clear. So I go through all that. I buy the property from you for $2,300 to your net. I paid the $200 in back taxes. Now I own the property. And then Mark, I'm going to sell that property in 30 days or less. And I've got a built-in best buyer for that property. Do you know who it is? The neighbors! The neighbors! So I'm going to send out neighbor letters saying, hey, look, here's your opportunity to expand your holdings, protect your privacy, protect your views, and own this 10 acres, right? Oftentimes, the neighbors will buy it retail. So I'll get, and I'll owner finance it. I'll get $2,500 as a down payment, and then I'll make it a car payment. Let's say $449 a month, 9% interest over the next 84 months, right? So now I've got this one-time sale. I've got this recurring income of $449 a month for the next 84 months, and Mark, I don't have to deal with any renters, rehabs, renovations, or rodents. Now, let's rewind the marketing piece of it, and let's say the neighbors pass. If the neighbors pass, I'm still going to sell it in 30 days. I'm going to go to my buyer's list. The buyer's list passes, I'm going to go to a little website you've probably never heard of called Craigslist, 10th most trafficked website in the United States. I might go to another even smaller website called Facebook, a billion people on there, into marketplace or buy sell groups, right? And then I'll go to, you know, Zillow. I might go to Landmodo.com, LandsofAmerica.com, LandandFarm.com, the lands, right? But either way, I'm going to sell it, and I'm going to make it irresistible. And then the game that we play is, can we create enough of these land notes where our passive income exceeds our fixed expenses? And then we're working because we want to, not because we have to.
I mean, that's a really amazing strategy. I mean, you're getting a property from someone who may not care too much about it, and then – I mean, that gives you a lot of legroom to triple that. And I really like the recurring aspect. That is something that I'm focusing heavily on, to have a recurring model, so that I'm not like I love doing like virtual summits, and that's how I get like sales. Like, that's one of the ways, but also to have like that recurring commission. So like the Advanced Influencer Mastermind, for instance, being one of the ways I get recurring commission. But I really like that approach, and it's not a lot of money. I mean, you mentioned like $2,500 to buy the whole thing, like no like mortgage or anything like that. While, I mean, a lot of houses, like if you find like $100,000 house in New York, like that's like, there's not that many options like that. So, I mean, it's definitely a really great strategy. I'm wondering though, you mentioned, like how you approach the neighbors. Is there anything else that goes into the marketing other than the neighbors and that buyer list?
Well, I mean, yeah, absolutely. You know, you want to create urgency. You want to create scarcity. You want to give them a clear call to action. I mean, it's just basic marketing fundamentals when you create ads for your raw land. So if the neighbors pass, then I'll go to my buyer's list. I mean, I can pick up the phone or send out an email, and I'll sell property every week, right? But if you don't have that, then you want to go to places where people are hanging out that are interested in buying raw land. So we don't want to be, you know, spending a lot of money on Google ads or Facebook ads driving traffic to a website that nobody really cares about. We want to go where people are hanging out and then interrupt them and say, hey, look, here's an opportunity to buy the only thing in your life that's going to last, right? Ted Turner has that great quote, buy land, it's the only thing that lasts. I mean, it lasts longer than styrofoam, and styrofoam lasts a long time. So it's going to outlive you, it's going to outlive me, it's going to outlive everybody, and it's this amazing legacy investment, and that can also only be limited by your imagination. So we get a lot of clients that they buy the land, and they may never go out there. They just like the idea that they own this asset that they don't have to maintain, they don't have to protect, and it's going to go up in value. It's a great hedge against inflation. And if they want to go out there one day and enjoy it, they can. But it's just a fun thing to own for them.
And it's interesting you dived into that psychology a little bit. Like, what is the motivation for someone to buy a property? Because some people, they want to do stuff to it. Other people, maybe they just want to say, I own this many acres of land. So definitely something very interesting there. One of the things you mentioned, you said you have this whole checklist of different things, and you have a team, and for $11, you get all those checks checked and all of that due diligence. I'm wondering what goes into automating a real estate business, because I feel like that's something that a lot of people especially when it comes to real estate, are afraid of doing.
Right. So we're 90% automated between software, inexpensive virtual assistants, and a software system called GeekPay.io that automates collecting the money every single month. So on the front end, essentially what we're doing is we're getting that list, and then we're scrubbing that list and we're uploading it into our software program. That software program has an API and talks to a company called Lob.com. Lob will then take that list, they will do address verification, and then they will send it out automatically at first class mail, right? So then when that mail goes out, we start getting our offers back. And then from there, we have our intake manager that talks to the sellers, because sometimes the sellers don't understand the offer. Maybe they just want to yell at me, right? So we want to make sure that those sellers are really sellers. And so we have to qualify them. So the intake manager does that, and then they get a little bonus for getting the price even lower. So they're motivated even to negotiate with the seller. So then after the seller essentially agrees to sell us the property, we go back to the Philippines and we give them the legal description of that property, and then we create that due diligence. Again, I'm not spending any time doing that. That's already been automated with our virtual assistants. Then that comes back, and essentially we can then use Lob again. And using Lob, we can send out the check to the seller, right? If it's $5,000 or more, we'll probably close to a title company. $5,000 or less, we'll close directly with the seller. So then we own the property. Then using our software program, we use that same mail merge again. But essentially, we have our VAs go in using the GIS map. They get all that that neighbor information. We send out the neighbor letters, and then we send out email, which again is automated, to our buyers list. And then we have our ad writing team, again, based in the Philippines. They start creating the ads. And then we use a program called postingdomination.com/ The Land Geek, and that we can create about 124 ads on Craigslist and Facebook by just pressing a button. Just automates it, right? So it just goes out. And then from there, as we start talking to our potential buyers, we have an acquisition manager that handles that. And then once they close on that, we use the software GeekPay.io. It's a one-time set it and forget it system where we get all of our borrowers' information, we get collected down payment, we collect money each month via ACH. But Mark, if the ACH fails, we have a credit card on file as a backup. So we've literally lowered our default rate from 8% to 4% using software. It automates the notifications. Our borrowers can go in at any time, see their current balance, make a prepayment. So it completely eliminates me from the business. So essentially, I work about 2 hours a week in Frontier Properties, where I talk to the team once a week and I just look at the numbers. How many offers went out? How many deals are pending? Or how many deals will we buy? How many deals are pending? And how many deals will we close? And as long as those numbers stay, you know, sound, I don't need to break anything in the business. So, you know, the idea being that I should be able to travel the world, and this business just keeps bringing me mailbox money every single month on an automated passive basis.
I mean, it's amazing just to hear that system and how you have so many different softwares and tools and people filling different roles who are really making this delegation, this automation part possible. I mean, Mark mentioned a lot of softwares. I've been jotting them all down. Those will all be in the show notes, markbury.com/E322. And one of the things that you mentioned in your book is a certain trait that we need to be successful in land investing and in real estate. So I'm wondering if you could share with us what that number one trait is.
Yeah, the ability to embrace the suck or grit. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So many times in life, right? We have all this enthusiasm. We want to start this new endeavor. It sounds so simple. right? Like what I'm talking about sounds so simple. And then all of a sudden we hit that brick wall. And then you're like, oh my gosh, this isn't so simple. And so oftentimes we apply all our skills and knowledge and talents that we're so good at, like in you know, arena A, and we think it should apply to arena B, the new one. And it's just not how it goes, right? And then we get frustrated, our energy level goes down, and ultimately we end up quitting, right? And I would make the argument that if you stick with it, and I love this Zig Ziglar quote, if you'll do for the next 3 to 5 years what other people won't do, you'll be able to do for the rest of your life what other people can't do. And I think the number one trait in success in anything is having that perseverance, that grit, that ability to be willing to be comfortable being uncomfortable most of the time and going outside of your comfort zone, doing those things to the point where you become competent, and then life becomes very, very different at that point.
And it's really interesting you mentioned that long-term payoff, where I feel like it's better if we focus on doing things now that benefit our long-term than is to do things in the short-term without thinking of how they affect our long-term. And that grit is definitely a key trait for any ambition that you have. When it comes to land and real estate, though, I'm wondering, other than the grit, or in this case, a lack of it, what do you believe holds most people back from being successful investors?
Fear. They're afraid. They're afraid to buy. They're afraid of making a mistake. They're afraid they're going to run out of, you know, they're going to be stuck with a property they can't sell. Then they sell the property, right? And it's great. But then they're afraid to invest in themselves and grow their team. There's just fear and fear and fear, and you just see it's palpable. And so, you know, sort of, you know, and intellectually, it's not intellectual, because they know I'm no genius, right? Like, if I can do it, they can do it. So it's not an intellectual thing. It's emotional. And I think getting over that takes time, and you actually almost need to have another person and sort of, you know, bringing you up as a Sherpa, if you will, up that mountain that you want to climb, right? And it's hard, Mark. If they're easy, we'd all be multimillionaires, but we're not.
And I mean, the fear really is, it definitely is the key thing that holds a lot of people back. And I mean, Mark said it earlier, you have to be comfortable with getting yourself uncomfortable, really going after ambitions where, I mean, you wonder if you can accomplish them, but if you put your mind to it and you have a plan of how you're going to make it happen, then it's obviously more possible. But you have to get comfortable with this idea of being uncomfortable to hit your goals. And we've hit on a lot of stuff on this personal development portion, but I mean, I'm wondering, Mark, if you could share with us some of the habits that you have developed that you would consider essential for your success.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, I meditate every morning, at least 10 minutes, but I do it consistently, so I don't miss a day of meditation. And what, you know, when you train your mind, it's so funny because like in the 70s, it was like, you know, I don't know, Mark, have you seen Anchorman?
No.
Okay, so this movie with Will Ferrell, and he has this great line. He's like, you know, Veronica and I are going to go jogging or jogging. I'm not sure if the J is silent. Apparently, you just run, right? So there's a point in time where, you know, this idea of, you know, working out physically was like only for like the fringe. And I think today it's not as fringe, but I think meditation is just as important as working out physically is for your brain, and having this awareness of your thoughts and, you know, when you're getting lost in thought, because when you see your thoughts as just thoughts as they come and they go, you start becoming, you know, super curious about like, who is that person thinking? Like if we personified the person in our head that's thinking all the time, we wouldn't hang out with that person. Number one, they don't shut up. Number two, right? They flip-flop at constantly. Oh, and they're constantly judging every single moment. Oh, this is bad. Oh, this is good. Oh, it's cold outside. Like, okay. Like, why can't I just be? Why does anything have to be judged? And so you start seeing, like, okay, I really can't rely on these thoughts all the time that are just kind of drifting in and out. Like, unless I'm really going to do some long-term planning and be intentional about it, my moment-to-moment thoughts kind of don't serve me when you start becoming more aware of them. And then, so I would say that's for me, like, so, so critical, especially when I'm anxious, right? Because I see, like, okay, why am I anxious? And I take a deep breath and I go to my, you know, like, okay, what's my problem at this moment? And you realize, like, there is no problem in the moment. Like, it's just my mind running away. So, you know, that's number one for me. I think number two, and I can't take credit for this, is Tim Ferriss's fear setting exercise. And doing that at least once a quarter is so powerful, because then you get onto paper something that you're afraid of, and it's no longer just sort of floating around in your head and kind of giving you this little underlying anxiety. It's sort of defined, right? And then you can deal with it. And then you can kind of see, like, you know, what's the absolute worst thing that could happen, right? Well, what would be the steps I could take to repair those things? You know, what are the outcomes or benefits, you know, that are probably more probable, right? If I were fired from my you know, business today or my job today, what would I do to get things under financial control, right? What things am I putting off out of fear, right? What is this costing me? You know, and then what am I waiting for? Like, these seven questions you can ask yourself, this fear setting exercise, and you can just kind of Google Tim Ferriss fear setting and go through it. He's got a TED talk on it. Really, I think helps, you know, mentally prepare for those things that you're just kind of, you know, you feel fearful, but you don't know. And now it's like, okay, here it is in a concrete form. So I think, you know, that's really great to do as well. And I think number three is just having this growth mindset every day, you know, being curious, having growth, learning through podcasts or books, whatever it is, because, you know, just kind of tapping into the collective wisdom of the world is super important. So I think those are my top three. I don't know. What about you, Mark? How would you answer that?
I mean, a lot of them are similar. I mean, growth mindset, that's a big one. Like, I mean, 322 episodes, we mentioned that earlier. That's 322 conversations, not including virtual summits, where I've been able to learn from a lot of awesome people like yourself, Mark. And I mean, that's the big one. And then just like continuously taking action. I mean, I believe that when it comes to stress, the way that you solve that is by taking action, unless it's something you can't control, such as like someone's, you're waiting for a decision or something like that. Like, you did all the work, now you got to wait for a decision. That decision's like, you're stressed out about that. But I mean, the way to solve a lot of the stress and a lot of the problems is just through consistent action in the right areas.
Yeah. I love the quote, action may not always bring happiness, but there is no happiness without action.
That is true.
Yeah, that's great.
So in this mind of sharing quotes and a lot of awesome insights and mentioning the whole growth mindset, where, I mean, you mentioned listening to podcasts, you in your car at home, you're doing that right now, joining us at Breakthrough Success. Another great way to learn, and this is one of my favorite ways, is to read as many books as possible. So, Mark, I know you've got your book, Dirt Rich, which will be in the show notes, but I'm wondering if you could share with us three other books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Yeah, you know, I saw you had Seth Godin back on your podcast, and I think this is marketing book is fantastic. And I love everything he writes, actually. So anything from Seth Godin, I think, is great. You know, I'm reading a book. I'm really enjoying this, Mark. Have you read Willpower Doesn't Work by Benjamin Hardy?
Yes, he was actually a guest on the show also.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I love that book. I really like this idea of of creating your environment for success, right? And how important that is. So, and how easy it is today. Like, if you want to hang out with you and me and three other people, like, just start listening to these podcasts, right? It's pretty easy to do. So, I really enjoyed that book. Let's see, what other book did I just read that was great? I always love going back to Essentialism by Greg McKeown. I think that's like a book to read quarterly. Finding out what matters most and then ignoring everything else. Blue Ocean Strategy is a great book. A book that I found that was really helpful as far as growth and the way to think about things was The Courage to Be Disliked. A Japanese author by Ichiro Kishimi and Fumitake Koga. I really enjoyed that book. I think 12 Rules for Life is a meaty book, but worth a read as well. And then for those people that love marketing, I think the Never Lose a Customer Again book by Joey Coleman is really helpful.
Mark, thank you for those great book recommendations. All those will be in the show notes, markbird.com/e322. We will also throw in a link to all some of the book recommendations that I've made. I've just created some new Amazon store thing. Like, this is literally the first time I'm mentioning this on the show. Like, I think it's amazon.com/shop/markbirdie, and you'll find a bunch of different books that I recommend what some past guests have recommended. So I'm pretty sure that's the link, but we will definitely have that in the show notes. And I mean, Mark, you've really shared a lot of incredible insights with us today. But I'm wondering if we could wrap up by you sharing us one question that you believe we need to ask ourselves more often.
One question that we should ask ourselves more often. That's a good question. I think the question that we should ask more often is, will this decision that I'm making eliminate 1,000 other decisions? I think that's a really interesting question to ask, especially, if for anything in life, right? So, let's just take diet, which is a easy one to pick on, right? So, what would be the decision I can make if I want to improve my diet that will help me, eliminate 1,000 other decisions? So, if I ask myself that question, well, how about no sugar, right? And if I say that, okay, no sugar, that eliminates 1,000 other decisions I have to make. So it's my birthday, so what? No sugar. My kid's birthday, so what? No sugar. It's Christmas time, so what? No sugar, right? I don't have to think about it. It's the rule. It's not like something, okay, well, 95% of the time there's no sugar. It's just this is it. And it eliminates all these other decisions I have to make. And we can do that so many times with other things in our life with, work or and play or whatever it is. So I think that's an interesting question to ask. I'd be curious, what's your favorite question, Mark?
Oh, wow, getting flipped on the other side of the conversation. My question would be, what are the things that I have to do today for me to realize the ideal future of myself that I want to live?
That's interesting. I like that.
Well, I
It's
mean,
like goal setting on steroids. Right, great.
So, I mean,
I'm stealing that.
that might be one of the few times where it's been flipped. I mean, I've had to have the question, so I mean, definitely, get a lot of new experiences from each of these episodes. So, I mean, like So that's definitely a lot for you at home or in your car to consume. Both of our questions, definitely a lot to think about. And as you are thinking about those questions, Mark, I want you to share with us where we can find you on the web and a few places we can learn more about you.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best place to go is thelandgeek.com, thelandgeek.com. And for all the listeners, you know, I love Mark Guberti. So just for listening to his podcast, I'd like to give a gift out, if that's okay with you, Mark.
Definitely.
It's our $97 passive income launch kit course for free. So if you just go to landgeek.com/launch kit, you can get into that course for free. And I think those are two really good places to start and delve in and start learning more. You know, I do have the Art of Passive Income podcast as well that you could find on iTunes.
Mark, thank you so much for sharing all of those great resources with us and all of your great insights with us today. It was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it.
Want to dominate the podcasting industry? Now you can with your free copy of my book, Podcast Domination. You'll learn how to launch, grow, and monetize your very own show. And whether you are a beginner or an expert, this book has a lot of golden nuggets for you. We'll cover the cost of producing this book. All we ask is that you cover the shipping. To get your copy, head over to markguberti.com/PD.